Megan. I'm Jess.
And we are
Friends with Bros.
We're back. Your Friends with Bros are back with the second season of Don't Worry About My Hair. We hope to create a space that offers relatable conversations while providing some inspiring content to promote a positive mindset and encouraging you to manifest your purpose, okay? And feel support from your friends with pros to go after it, get going, get it together, and do you, boo-boo. All right, let's go.
All right. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hola, hola.
We have a special episode for you guys today. We are in the month of February, which just about everyone associates with love. And last year, we gave our own viewpoints on love and other things, which was cool, but we thought we might switch it up this time and hear from some men in our lives about their thoughts on love. So we asked some of our listeners to send in some questions, and we have our own questions to ask. We have a few guys here today that we want you guys to get to know. First up, we have Brandon. You podcast listeners know him as our resident tenderoni with twists. Brandon is Jess's husband, a fitness enthusiast, and a grill master. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, how you doing?
That's how it sounds, everybody. Stop asking. Just no one's ever asked.
And then we have a couple single guys here with us today. We have Levi, who is a 30-year-old. You're 30, right?
Yeah, but you don't have to say it so happy, but yes.
A 30-year-old single man living in Los Angeles. And I really consider him like the modern-day average single man. I mean, you're not average. I'm just saying. The typical single man. Mm. I'm not sure why, Cody. I did it already. Guys. His name is Levi, but I know him as Cody. I've known him for over 20 years now. So if I slip up and call him that, forgive me. So I don't know why Levi is single, because he's good looking, he's fit, he's hardworking, and he's a TikTok star.
But
what? He's here anyway to give us his perspective.
TikTok star, I'm going to log on right now.
Oh, man. No. No, yeah, it's good. It's solid.
And then next we have Aaron, who happens to be my cousin and one of the funniest people I know. He is 33. He's an absolute superstar, and he's currently in a relationship, but he's not married. Aaron, go ahead and greet the folks.
Yeah, you know, I just want to tell all my lady fans out there, you know what I'm saying? Hit me up on the town, you know what I mean? I mean, no, let me quit. What's going on, everybody? Glad to be here. That's it.
Oh, Lord, this is going to be interesting.
This is going to be so good. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We are really excited to hear what you guys have to say about love and dating during this time. So I'm going to start off for the singles, all right? Gentlemen, what is your ideal date?
Well, Megan, do you have an ideal date? You know, your friends are listening.
We'll see.
Yeah, okay. I'll start off first. I think I can do a pretty easy one, and it's pretty stereotypical LA. It would be like a hike that's not really strenuous, but like it's got some pretty views, you know, get the blood flowing, kind of like get to move around. So if you got any jitters, you can kind of work that out, you know, physically, rather than, you know, just sitting somewhere trying to do some small talk. So like a hike somewhere, and then, you know, just like a, not like a full on meal, but like a place that's got maybe like a happy hour for appetizers and drinks or something like that. And then depending on how those two things go, you know, play from here, from there. But those would be like the only two things I would schedule in a quote unquote, like ideal date situation.
Love it.
I would have to say, I need something to where I need a woman that can not only arouse everything else, but arouse my mind. So if you can't hold a conversation with me, then I can't mess with you. So I like the hiking part, but the problem with hiking is if you way down the road and she has no conversational skills. Now you stuck with her for another 45 minutes. True. You know what I mean? So, true. You know what I mean? I don't want to be stuck. So for me, traditional, let's meet at a bar, maybe definitely a patio setting. Let's talk. If you can hold a conversation, then we can build from there. Because conversation is everything to me. If I can't talk to you, then that we're not going to go far. So for me, it's just traditional. Let's meet at a bar with a patio set, have a couple drinks, talk, see if you were, you know, spark my mind, and then go from there. I just keep it simple. Because I don't want to be caught on the walk with you and I don't like you, and now I'm trying to get sick and act like I need to get back to the car quick. I don't need to do all that.
I'm cramping.
Yeah, oh, I got a cramp. Oh, I can't breathe. And you're breathing, but I can't, you know, so. He's like, oh, that's just me.
It sounds like drinks are a must on both dates, so that's important to note.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's a must. It just needs to be available. Mm.
Yeah.
Point. Have the beverages available. Okay.
I think it definitely has to be an atmosphere that allows a person to be, it has to be like a, I don't really like the dark, you know, the dark areas, and it needs to be something with a upbeat music so that person can feel like they're loose and they're not like, this is uncomfortable. I think it has to be something like that. But yeah, drinks need to be an option. You don't have to drink. I really don't drink. So as long as it's an option, that's cool with me.
Good point. Okay. The next question for the singles. This is very advanced. What is your love language?
And ooh, I like this.
Knowledge of love languages is important for dating relationships. I'd like all singles, Megan, to answer.
I'll go first because I'm ready, okay? My love language is words of affirmation. Mm. I like to be uplifted. I like to be complimented frequently. I think it is important to know for dating relationships because people tend to speak the love language they like to receive the most. So if you are with someone who has a completely opposite love language than you, you want to be aware of that. So that way you guys are providing each other what, and the ways that people like to receive love the best.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Aaron, we'll go with you first. You got an answer for this one?
I do. And that's funny y'all brought this up because I learned this, from my girlfriend now, the love language deal. And mine is, I believe it's words of affirmation. I think that's it. I'm not a materialistic person, so I don't care about gifts. That's cool to have, but I think actions is what I really love. No, don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me, right? Mm-hmm. Don't tell me you're gonna do something, do it. Mm-hmm. Gifts has never been a big part of me because to me, that's very superficial. To me, everybody's love language is different. But to me, anybody can go grab a gift just to grab a gift, right? But it's the little things, the words. You know, I appreciate you. Thank you. You look beautiful today. Mm-hmm. That is the stuff that men like to hear it too, right? Women love to hear that. But men like to hear like, hey, babe, you looking sexy today. Or what's up? I like to hear whatever. Men like to hear that just as much as women do. Mm-hmm. So for me, mine would be, like Megan said, words of affirmation would be mine. You know, tell me and show me. That'd be mine.
Yeah. Okay, let's see if we're 3 for 3 on the words of affirmation. Levi?
We're gonna mess it up. Number one would be quality time. I like to pretty much, I'm not going to say I'm super independent or like desire to be super independent, but like I'll have my own stuff going, you know, ideally. You got part of your world going on, I have part of my world going on. There's a Venn diagram of some similar interest. But like at the end of the day, like the couch time is definitely like probably the thing of a relationship that I don't say value most, but like as a single guy, that's the one thing that I'm like, oh, that's the thing you kind of are yearning for.
Yeah.
But so quality time for sure. Physical touch for sure. That kind of goes hand in hand with the kind of scenario I just painted. Physical touch for sure. And then I learned this recently. I didn't realize it until I had a similar conversation with somebody else, kind of about the same thing. Acts of service, which I never really thought of because I'm like, I don't need people to do a lot of stuff for me. And like, I like to, you know, cook and some, you know, that type of thing. But I didn't realize like the really, really little things, you know, the access service, just like the awareness, like picking up on what type of person you are and like making your life like that much more seamless, like any way they can, was something I realized kind of pretty recently. So I'd say those would be my three, with definitely quality time, physical touch being head and shoulders above the last one.
Mm. I think physical touch was my number, is definitely my number one. That's what I forgot. Physical touch is my number one.
Oh, okay.
I got to have it.
Got it. All right. Got a little variety here. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I hope. You can look up your love language and take the quiz free online. We'll put that in somewhere in the social medias for y'all.
Social medias.
Yes. Speaking of variety, what is the most attractive non-physical quality of a woman for you? The mind.
Give me that mind. Oh, yeah, I was gonna say something else. Give me that. I want the mind. That to me is, that's everything. That's everything. You can be the most beautiful woman if you can't hold a conversation, if you're not intellectually smart, you don't have any kind of, and that doesn't mean it has to be book smart, because there's book smart people that aren't street smart or mm-hmm. common sense, which is not attractive. So for me, it's gotta be the mind.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely echo that. And then another thing that is tough for me as well, like when finding somebody, it'll rule somebody out pretty quickly, is the mind would also be like awareness. Like where Megan and I grew up, and I'm sure, I don't know if you guys are from the same area or not, but there's a lot of privilege around. And if you've never really had to work for anything, or like are completely oblivious to just the world in general, like awareness is really crucial, because it'll also help like self-awareness and vision, like where you two are going.
Yeah.
It just has to do with everything. You got to be able to at least have some level of critical thinking, some level of awareness. Yeah. And it is tough. I would say like one of the biggest rule breakers would be like coming from too much privilege is just tough to handle. Like, especially like Los Angeles, like it's just bad for sure.
Superficialness. I only know that from TV. I have never lived there, but lots of
No, you can be superficial too if you want, but just like understand, like know that about yourself is fine. Like, don't gives you anything. Like,
if you know, because you can't. I've had conversations with people. Some people just don't know, right? You don't know your privilege. You know, just like when you grew up, if you grew up in a bad neighborhood, you know, if you grew up in the hood, you didn't know it was the hood when you was growing up. It was just home, right? It was just normal. So I don't think there's nothing wrong with having privilege, but if you're oblivious to it, and then when you find out you still don't want to take the steps to learn the difference, then that's the problem. Because some people are like, okay, yeah, I'm privileged. Oh, well, like, suck it up. But yeah, if you're not willing to learn, people live different and don't have the same lives as you, then yeah, that's a huge deal breaker. So I definitely echo that.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you still recognize it, it's still difficult if you're coming from just such different backgrounds in that respect, because like, it's just hard for me to connect to somebody that's like had the white picket fence and like the two parent household and the, you know, vacation every summer to whatever, you know, like that whole thing. It's just, and like, you could make up for it with enough self-awareness for sure. And like drive and to build your own thing. But it's just like definitely one of those connection things where it's hard for me to like really relate to somebody if they've come from such a wildly different experience.
That connection.
But maybe there's an opportunity there for something else too, you know, either end of the spectrum, who knows?
Well, some people realize, I think it'll work, because, you know, I've met women who had a lot of money and didn't care about that and understood everything going on around. They wasn't blind. They didn't have blinders on. They knew what was going on and they realized their blessings. They realized that, yo, I'm privileged to have this. And I don't take this lightly. Like, this is something serious. I'm thankful for it. So I think it could work in that aspect, because I've met women that have had, you know, quite a bit of money. It didn't, you know, and they understood that. It didn't change them. I think it could work. They have to be able to see that.
Mm-hmm. That self-awareness. That's a good point.
Yeah, for sure. Ooh-wee. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's definitely not a deal breaker, but it is just something. I have a little recency bias going on right now, too. A little recency bias with, like, I've just noticed that people that have come from, like, I don't want to say super bumpy. You need some, like, traumatic experience. But just, like, if you've had real life happen to you at some point in your life, that's a huge plus for me. I'll reward it that way rather than negatively. Sure. I'll say on the other end, just more life experiences probably for the better.
For sure.
Overcome adversity of some sort, like had a little bit of something going on that you had to overcome the challenges, and that makes sense.
I hear you, Cody, because if you're having a conversation with somebody, I hear you, because if you have a conversation with her, you're talking about all this stuff you're going through and how you know, she can't even really relate to hold you down. She's like, oh, really? You can't, your rent?
Yeah, complain.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
complaining
even know what
that is. Like, yeah.
So, no, I agree. From that aspect, 100%. When you start digging deep, that's where complications come in relationships, because now you're like, I can't even go to her and vent. You know, this is supposed to be my best friend, my woman. I can't go vent to her because she doesn't know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
She doesn't feel my pain. So, yeah, no, I agree. I see that.
No, and like conflict resolution is going to be completely different. Like, what's the problem to her? You're like, listen, that's not even a problem. Like, we'll just get another one, or like, we'll rebook the flight and we'll eat the $300 cost, whatever. It sucks. No one's happy. Like, this isn't a real problem.
Right.
Like, you need to have a real problem in order to understand kind of some of that. But again, like, I'm a bias from kind of where I grew up, and we kind of had a pretty sharp demographic split there, and then where I live now currently as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of overcoming challenges, do you care if a woman makes significantly more or less money than you?
Significant.
Ooh, I like this one.
I can take this one. Listen. You can call it what you want. You can call me cocky. You can call me whatever. I am an extremely confident man. I've always have been. Making notes, I've always been confident. And that's not me making it seem like I'm all that. That's just me saying that I've always been confident in who I am as a person, who I'm as a man, and the things that I can do. So if you make more than me, it doesn't matter to me, because, so this is number one, I tell people this. I grew up in a family where I was surrounded by nothing but strong women. That's it. That's all I saw, was strong women, from my aunt, Megan's mom, to my mom, to other aunts. They're all strong women. A lot of them were single, most of them were single, and raised kids by themselves. All I want is strong women. I don't want a weak woman. I want a woman that's gonna make her money. If you want to sit at home and not do nothing, we're not gonna mesh. I need a woman that's a go-getter. I need a woman that speaks her mind. I need a woman that's confident. I need a woman that's strong, because that's what I go around. So that, in that aspect, I definitely think that it determines on what your upbringing was. So I met a guy in college. I'll say this quickly. I worked with him. His girlfriend lived in North Carolina. He was like, man, dang. I was like, what's up with you and your lady? He's like, man, this is bull crap, man. Like, what? He's like, man, she's coming up, man. She's got a new job. She makes $120,000, man. I can't have that. He was just so frustrated. And I'm like, I really couldn't understand. I was in college at the time. And I'm like, who cares, man? You got a boss chick. Like,
right.
He's like, you got a chick that's a boss. He was like, no, man, I'm the man. I got to be the breadwinner. I can't. I said, what are you talking about? He's like, man, you got to understand how I was raised up. Like, my father was the breadwinner. He was always the one that made the money in the house. I saw him taking care of my mom. So that's what I want. I can't have no woman taking care of me, because I think the man's supposed to do that. And that always stuck with me. That was years ago, because that kind of let me know, like, I think it really depends on how you grow up in certain aspects and what you see. Mm-hmm. I saw strong women. I love strong women. Mm-hmm. You saw a male, you saw a mom not doing it. You associate that with being weak if your wife is making it. So for me, no, I don't care how much you make. You can make $500,000. I can make $150,000. Mm-hmm. If I love you, I love you.
Income, okay. What if it was too little? Is there an amount that's too small? Like, what if she doesn't have two pennies to rub together, but out here still wants to go out?
We wouldn't even be together then, if you trying to do all that. Guys, I got to go. Yeah, you trying to.
I love that. No, I think going back to intelligence and stuff, for one, no, it's not at all an issue. I recently had a situation where the girl made twice me, and I don't make nothing, but like, she was balling hard. It was a great time. You just get to pick up like some small things here and there, and it's like, hey, it's your turn to pay for, or you just, you know, pay for something randomly. You just got to make sure you pepper it in enough, you know. But like, if you're honest and it's a transparent deal, like it's not a huge, not a huge problem whatsoever. But it goes back to also like the intelligence. Like, if they're making a lot of money, that means they're probably not the dumbest person in the world. And that means they've set a bar, and that means like with any relationship, I feel like the ultimate goal is to make each other better, right? And so if they're making more money, then that's going to be a little bit of fire for you, not necessarily like out of jealousy, but it's just, you know, you are who you surround yourself with. So if you're surrounding yourself with someone that's making a lot of money, that's just naturally going to bring up your income as well, just from proxy. Mm-hmm. So like on that standpoint, it's great too. And again, like it's never just gonna be money. I mean, it's like, there's like a professionalism aspect, or, you know, a creativity. There's some attribute that she has that's like getting her to that point. So it's not like you're just getting the income increase, but you're also going to better yourself in your life in whatever area that is that got her that money too. But yeah, no, more definitely. And if you're somebody that's like threatened by that, that's just problematic for a variety of reasons, but mm-hmm.
Control.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, but there is a pitfall. I don't say pitfall, but like you just got to be aware of, like, because she doesn't need that from you. So like, just keep your eyes open. Again, the awareness. Like, what is it that she does need, and just double down there. Right. Like, don't try to give her something she doesn't need.
Wait, can I
money or anything else, regardless.
Hey, Cody, trying to not to be single after this podcast. They're like, oh,
Levi.
They're gonna say, yeah, who was that guy again? Levi?
No.
I'll give my 2 cents to this question as a married man.
Oh, cute.
To me, it's a great benefit if they make as much or more, because they can go and do the things they really want to do, and you don't have to. To me, it's like if she wants to go on a trip somewhere, and I don't really care to, but I know I'm going to make the sacrifice to go with her at least. I know she's going to pay for, you know, she has the money to really get it, do it for us. Like, if she really wants to do it, then it's like, all right, well, I can't even argue, because she has the money to do it anyway. So it's like, to me, that's the major plus of it in a marriage. It's like, she can just handle it herself anyway. So to me.
You know about people, your spouse making more than you?
Yeah.
You got others.
No.
What? Man, leave that man alone.
Y'all have given some very mature answers, okay? Very mature. I love it. We're going to take it back, though, okay? Let's say you just meet somebody. Give me y'all's best pickup line.
Woo!
Oh, God.
I want cheesy. I want corny. I want what works. I want whatever.
Do you pickup lines anymore? Because is that even a thing?
That might be another question in itself. Do y'all use pickup lines?
Cole, do you want that one? Do you want me to go? You want what you want?
I mean, there's like the... I mean, I don't even really use dating apps either, but I like the, hey, I'm at Whole Foods. Do you want me to pick you up anything? Like, if it's a digital thing, I like that one. But, like, I haven't used the pickup line in forever. Can't really say that I would in person. I don't really know how it would work.
Now, I'm going to tell you, so you don't need – I've never used the pickup line. The way to – if you want to get a woman, first of all, number one is confidence. Okay. Number two is make them smile. You make a woman smile, have confidence. That's, you know, that's all I ever use. Make a woman smile and have confidence when you're approaching them. Mm-hmm. Don't approach them like you're scared. And being able to read body language, read hints. You know, is this working? Is that, you got to be able to, you just got to be able to read women. So I don't have no, you know, pick. I don't even know why people would ever use a pickup line.
Lines might be jokes if you're making people laugh.
Correct. That's true, there too.
You might come at them.
Yeah, I mean, it conveys intent, clearly. That's one thing. But, yeah, I don't have, like, a go-to that I would could ever say that I would.
I mean, that's one. If, you know, if any single man's listening, you know, you can get one to make her smile. Walk up to a girl and be like, excuse me. Oh, man, excuse me. I lost my phone. Do me a favor. Can you text my phone real quick? I can hear it ping. And if you text it, and they're going to look at you like, no, I just want to come talk to you. That's all I wanted to do.
Oh,
you know,
like, come
talk to you. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That, you get a gullible girl, you know, She's like, oh, yeah, let me text it for you real quick. You need an Uber there? Can I get you an Uber?
Seen this boy going around, and he would just give girls his phone with the contact information open, like to fill in. And he'd be like, "Hey, can you fill out this survey?"
I do have one now that I think about it. I've never thought of it as a pickup line, but I've definitely used it similarly. To me, it's just something stupid. But like, if you're at a place where there's loud music playing, or just music playing in general. It works best if the song is kind of random or somewhat recent. Actually, it doesn't matter. The funnier the song, the better. But if it's loud, you just kind of get close to them and just be like, hey, you know, I lost my virginity to this song. And then just kind of like keep dancing. So if it's like the Eiffel 65 I'm Blue song, you know, something that's really, really dumb is the best.
That can go left or right. Be like,
no, I know. Well, it's just a way to like kind of get in someone's area, kind of gauge them, and then bounce away if they like it and go back. But I've never really done it to randoms that I can think of. But if I'm in a group setting and it's like someone I don't know as well, I'll definitely do that because then they don't know if I'm joking or not. They might think I'm dead serious, especially if it's like, you know, a song from 3 years ago. They'll be like, "What the?" It'll like take them a second. They'll be like, "What the?" Like, that does not make any sense.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm going to ask one last question to the singles. Most and least favorite thing about being single?
I got most. Most is easy. Do whatever you want, whenever you want, period. Like, it's pretty, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I've been less aggressive with trying to find somebody too, is because like when you're just like your money budget, if you're doing like a time and effort budget, I got all these things I want to do and, you know, things I'm trying to build or whatever. And when you slot a girl in there and all of a sudden you get this huge chunk of the pie taken out, that like, not it for good reason. Like, it's not like it's this liability or anything. Cause like I said before, it's someone that's probably going to make you better. So it's a positive use of time, but being able to just focus on whatever I want. You know, I was talking to Megan Jared earlier today about how like I've been getting up really early lately.
Yeah.
And he's saying like, yeah, man, like I'm like a part of that. He didn't say anything negative, but just the fact that, you know, his fiance stays up a little bit later. So like he wouldn't ever really be able to get on that same schedule. Cause like, you know, if someone's going to bed at 11 and you want to go to bed at 9:30, that's, you know, it's that, and the end of the day is like an important, you know, bonding time. And like, you need to be aligned on that. So like for me right now, it's like, yeah, it's great that like if I feel like passing out at 7:45 or 8:45 at night on a weekday, like I can do that and not feel bad at all, if not feel like I'm shutting anybody out or anything.
Yeah.
Just the selfishness of time and effort is the best for sure.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Kind of agreeing with you, Cody, or Levi, sorry. My favorite thing about being single is the freedom to do what you want. I always joke around, I can stay extra at work. I can pick up, you know, just extra tasks, really focus on myself during this time because I'm single. My least favorite thing about being single, Lord, Valentine's Day, watching everybody else with a man, seeing all these sexies at the gym and they're not my boo, you know, all those things like that. I think, without telling on myself, I just think, sometimes it is hard to watch other people be in relationships and you're like, man, I would like that. So that is my, that's my least favorite. But overall, I'm trying to enjoy this time and maximize all the things that I want to work on for myself and career goals as well, to really focus on how I can better myself and move ahead quickly before having a bae or in the future having a whole family, because I think that definitely should adjust your priorities. Okay.
Yeah, let me help my least. I didn't do my least, and it's kind of related to what Megan's saying a little bit. I'm doing pretty well. Like, I'm happy with where I'm at in life, but like, I don't care that. I mean, I'm learning to care more about myself and respect myself more, but having a partner gives you that extra motivation to like push it a step further. Right. Cause it's not just like a girl or whatever. It's like the kids and all that after, which like right now I don't, nothing depends on me. Like I depend on me right. And I'm like, it's the bar is very low for where I have to be. I mean, I'm trying, like, again, I'm like, purposely trying to push that for myself, but that's a big thing you get when you're in a committed relationship is you have that vision for the future and that extra level of effort to build something lasting.
Yes.
Well. I would, it's this question is a tough question because I think it can play for both sides. I think the good thing, The least thing about being single is that it goes back to what Maggie says. You're looking, for me, it's not really the holidays. It's just the longing and wanting to share your day with somebody. Tell them how your day was. How do you feel? It's the small things. To me, it's not, because I've been, so before I slowed down, I've been a player my whole life. So for me, I never thought about something like that because I always had multiple women. So if I didn't get this from this woman, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if I didn't get the intellectual part.
I know exactly. You get the physical here. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's how most,
you don't.
That's how most single guys got to deal with it.
Yeah. So, you know, when you say the bad thing about when you're in that stage of your life or in that moment, if depending on where you're at, you know, if I have multiple women, a lot of times single men, the word single gets thrown around crazy, right? Single men are not always single, and I'll tell you why. If you're single and you have multiple women, different women give you different things that the other woman might not. You might talk with this woman, have long talks with this one woman, you might not say two words with you all. So you kind of get a relationship out of all those women in one.
You got your options.
You got your options, you know what I mean? So for me, I was never really single. When you're single, you're not always really single. So I won't say there was really a bad part for me because I always had that fulfillment in those areas that I needed it. Now, that's the good part, I should say. I should say the only part. Now, the least part is none of that is substantial, right? It's all fleeting. None of that means anything because these women, not that they don't mean anything to you, you just know that this isn't the one that I really want to, you know, be with. So that's the bad part because once you're done, you're like, I'm, you know, all this time that I'm spending, I'm going nowhere. It's not really, it's not blooming, it's not blossoming to something that could be better. So that, to me, that was the hard part as I started realizing, like, dude, you know, you're wasting time, man. You just, you know, you flipping the cards back and forth, but you have no winning hands. Like you just, you know, you flipping out cards, no blackjack. You're not hitting anything. So to me, that's the least part about it is being stagnant and not really having anything substantial that you can just talk to and vent to and laugh with. And the other hand of it is, like Levi was saying, it's, you know, it's the freedom of having different flavors, so to speak, right?
Yes.
You
know, Baskin Robbins, got it.
Baskin Robbins.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
You know what I mean? Like, you got Baskin Robbins. And flavors, and what I mean by flavors is like mentally, physically, you know what I mean? Like that. Mm-hmm. I ain't talking about like white, black, Japanese. I don't mean like that, but I mean, it might be, but that would be the least for me. So I think it's a good and bad in both of them.
Love it. Well, I gotta thank you guys for giving your perspectives. This was super fun. Yes. Where can people find y'all on the interwebs if they want to either slide in Levi's DMs or they want to follow y'all?
You know what I'm saying? Hit me up. You know,
yeah. You know what
I'm at, I'm gonna do it quick at the Talented One. At the Talented One, O-N-E, numeral one, the Talented, O-N-E, one, Instagram, Aaron Smith, Facebook, TikTok, the Talented One is me. Yeah, look me up. Yeah,
we'll tag you. Levi?
Yeah. And I'm pretty much at Levi Remick, LeviRemick on Instagram, TikTok. I guess I just made a Snapchat because they had like a similar TikTok ripoff, but I'm not really on that. And then Twitter is at SickTweetsBro, which is my favorite.
SickTweetsBro.
SickTweetsBro, yeah. Well, because I used to always have a handle specific to every platform. But then, like, you know, it's not good for branding now at this point. I have like an actual following, so it's like I might as well, like, my Twitter I'm keeping.
All right. Okay, well, up next we got awesome. The three questions, so we'll see you there in a second.
Thanks for having us, guys. It was a blast.
Thanks, y'all. Appreciate it.
So we'll get started. All right. So the next set of questions is from a married man's perspective. Now, Brandon and Jess and a woman. Okay. We'll ask Jess too. Brandon and Jess have been married for 3 years, correct? Almost three years.
Best 3 years of my life.
So are you guys still technically known as newlyweds? Is it 1 to 3 years make you newlyweds?
I don't know. We need to look that up. We'll have to ask the newlywed game.
We'll have to. But in the meantime, we'll get started with the first question. Now, a viewer sent this in, our listener, rather. Brandon, what made you choose your wife and stay committed to her?
Choose me.
What made me choose my wife?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
why that fish out of the pond? Why her?
I mean, it's real, real simple. If you ever met her.
Oh!
If you ever met her, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and everybody knows if you ever met Jess,
yeah,
your life, that if anything, your day that day was brightened.
Oh, wow.
I'm not saying this just to be saying it. It's the truth. Like,
it is.
And that's why you do what you do. That's why your career is your career. Because what you do for people, and I mean, all the stories you tell me from work that you're not supposed to tell me, HIPAA laws. but, you know.
She don't use no names, okay?
You were just off of work for 2 weeks, and then you go back, and the first thing you tell me, the first story was one of the little girls telling you, like, where you been?
Aww.
Like, if they're missing you at your job, you know you're somebody special. So, I mean, and I can't go. I mean, every time I've been to one of your jobs, get-togethers, like department get-togethers, it's like, we love Jess. I've never been in a relationship and definitely never was in a marriage with a woman that nobody ever has anything negative to say about her, ever. Mm. Nobody ever complains. Like, and then, I mean, just for me as a man, it's like she's, and I come from a family where I have, you know, we have two younger brothers, but we're very hard on each other, very negative towards each other.
They're downright mean.
We're not mean to each other, but we probably give each other the biggest, hardest time on everything and every little thing. And she's, and I've carried that into relationships. I've carried that into even friendships, but she's allowed me to learn how to be kinder, more compassionate. What was the
empathetic
word?
Empathetic's our big word.
She's like, you know, I lack empathy on a lot of things, and my wife has helped me see those type of things, and I learned that very quickly that's the type of person she was from first meeting her and all that.
Wow.
That was so nice.
All right.
So nice.
Three questions he said. Yeah. I talked too much on here.
This your show. You don't have this time for me to talk.
It's time for him to talk. Empathy.
Oh, I love it.
I love it. I think up next, Levi has a question. Now, try to tie that in, Levi.
Great. Yeah, no, I get to follow that up. Mine is super petty. I'm just curious what the thermostat situation is. Like, daytime, sleeping time.
They can tell you to ask that.
No, it's just, no, not at all. I was on a fantasy football draft the other, like, earlier this year, and it was such a burning topic. Like, the wife got in and, like, pulled the room because it was, like, a fight they were having probably for a long time. And it just made me realize, like, that's a really important thing. Like, and I'm just curious how that, what's the number? What are we talking about?
All right, you want to know the truth? All right, here's the truth. Mm-hmm. When we're not home, it's at 64 in the wintertime. It's at 64.
64 when we're not home.
When we're home, it gets bumped up to like 70. But
that's a lie.
Just today, I was like, you might want to turn that heat back on before we get home. She's like, I was like, it probably should go to 75. She was like, no, I'll do 73. I'm like,
because he's crazy about the number, 75.
I'm not crazy. And then we get home, and she's like, maybe you were right.
It was cold.
I know what it takes to heat the house up, but I mean, in the summertime.
Now.
I don't even.
I said I wasn't going to talk. But now we moved all of our furniture in our living room so that we could access our fireplace. Because you know what happens when you access the fireplace? You get to turn the thermostat down. You know what else I got this year? A heating blanket. It was a surprise. And when I opened it, I was like, what's this for? He was like, this is a good way to not touch the thermostat.
I love it.
Real story.
I love it.
So that's a very good and important question.
I'm frugal, man. Gas bills don't meet.
And I'm cold.
There's things you can control. You can control how much your utility bill is going to cost.
Okay.
I can do that.
Are you wearing socks yet? Like,
we saw a thing and it said, before you touch the thermostat, are you wearing a hoodie? Are you wearing socks? Did you use a blanket? Did you do this? And I was like, oh, we need this. He was like, we do. You need to ask yourself those questions.
That's my thought process behind it. It's like, I can control utility bill usage. Like, I know there's certain temperatures where you're going to be comfortable regardless. You just want to be
extremely
comfortable. You want to be in luxury at a certain point. Like, you don't need the house freezing.
Luxury.
You don't need the house hot just because it's wintertime. You just need it comfortable.
What a great question, Levi.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I take it back.
It's very important. You don't know that's going to be important. So that was a great question.
Yeah. Well, we also burn hotter, right? And then it's also like a game too for some reason. We like, you know, I don't know. You can beat it. Like, you can beat the temperature by having a tea or put some socks on or in the summer, you know, trying to do whatever. So in the summer, there's only as far as you can go, right? But
right.
Yeah, that's funny.
All right, we'll go to a deep question here. Brandon, how have you changed as a man since you've gotten married?
Well, I think I already answered that with the very first question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think I'm way more kind. I'm a big one is probably way more initially social. Like, I'm social and I'm talkative, but I'm not that way at first meeting. Like, I like to size people up, strangers up, before I actually engage and be like, you know what? You're worth getting to know. Like, I don't like the, I shouldn't put it that way, but whereas just walk into a room and be like, hi, like, that's her thing. Like, she should have a t-shirt that just says it so she doesn't have to say it.
It would be so much easier.
Like, hi, I'm just whoever and wherever, it doesn't matter. And like, I'm not where she is, but I'm definitely closer than what I used to be. I don't just talk to everybody. It's just not me. But yeah, so more social, more kind, more empathetic. I mean, and like the fellas were saying before, being married makes me want to do things harder in terms of like goals I want to reach and trying to establish a the newer, I mean, not a newer, but a thing like establish a generational wealth with my wife for the kids we're going to have. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
so I those type of things are always on my mind now versus being a single man or a dating man. Like, now it's like, what are we going to do to leave our legacy here for our children and our grandchildren and all that stuff? And like, and if I'm not married to this woman, then I'm not thinking about that stuff. I don't care about those things. I'm just worried about what I'm doing for me.
But yeah.
And I mean, and I've always told her, and she once told it to other people, but she never thought like, but it's like, I always say to Jeff, it's like, it's me and you. It's only me and you versus the world now. Like, we're, our team is the team. Like, yes, you have your mom. Yes, I have my parents, but they're them now. Like, it's us. We started our own thing now. So it's us versus the world. So we have to have each other's back no matter what it is. So, and then the more we're married, the more days and seconds and minutes we stay together, that gets stronger.
That was good. I wish I had a handshake.
Yeah, I'm snapping. That was a word. It sounds like you have matured in many ways since being married. And I really love what you just said about teamwork and you guys creating a new team and kind of building that together, which leads me to my next question. Okay. What are the top three qualities, and you both can answer this, what are the top three qualities that really matter in a relationship?
Like individual qualities or the qualities of the relationship?
Ooh, okay. I don't know how I meant that. So you take it, you take it either way.
I feel like the qualities change over time. Cause I feel like when we first, you know, when you're dating, the qualities are like, is he cool enough for me to want to be around him? Like, does he have, like you guys were saying, like, is the conversation there? Do I feel like, if we had conflict resolution issues, will they work out? Like, when you're dating, like, I feel like that was a big one. Like, how do we have disagreements? How do we care for each other? And how do we, I don't know what another one was. Like, are they fun with my friends? Like, I think those are like the dating qualities. Like, those were the things. But then as time goes on, we realize some of the conflict resolution things, we know it now, so we know how to push buttons a little bit more, or not, but some things that, like, you didn't skip past before, like, I'm a queen of silent treatment. Like, I feel like Brandon's like, you're gonna be quiet, so I'm gonna just go watch TV. Like, whereas when you're dating, you're like, no, I don't, like, you know, let me get flowers, let me bring her favorite food, let me, you know, schmooze her, because she's in this silent treatment phase. Married now, he knows the phase is coming, and I could stop it. I feel like I could, but I don't. And he's like, I'm gonna just go. I went to watch the game because I knew you were in your quiet time. So, like, I think over time, what happens in a relationship kind of changes. But I don't know if that's the same for you. I don't know what I would say for right. I think right now, like, yeah, like, just the motivation. I think it's less extrinsically motivating. Like, it's not like, does he like my friends? Because now we're here, like you said, like, now we're at the point where, like, it's us. So it's kind of like, okay, are we able to see eye to eye on some of these bigger things, like what a family looks like, what it looks like to have a home, move forward with having a home, careers, like, if he's investing in starting a new business or something, we're not just like, I'm thinking about it. It's like, I'm thinking about it and I'm like, all right, let's do it. Like, kind of thing.
Yeah.
How do we see our goals going forward? How we sacrifice for each other and that kind of thing. And we definitely had to learn our love languages because that was a big thing. But yeah, I think the qualities change as your life changes. Like, what I saw when I was 27 and we were dating looks a lot different than 32 when we're married. But I don't know. See, I didn't say a lot.
I mean, I think number one most important is just communication. Communication solves everything and all things when it comes to, you know, a relationship. When if the relationship is going sour, you need communication, and if the relationship is, you know, blossoming and fruitful, you still need communication at all times. I feel like there's everything else falls into place as long as communication is there.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Very true.
And knowing what each other needs, because I think the love language
but communication
thing will solve that. My love language is quality time.
Oh,
his is acts of service.
But I think I interpret the acts of service as me doing things.
Yes, I know. Let me give you guys an example. So when I had my surgery, we were both just very nervous because it's COVID. He can't be there, and he was like, "Yeah, I just don't like that. I don't get to be there." I got out of surgery. They call your person. They say, come pick them up. We'll wheel them out. They literally wheel you out the door, and Brandon's there with the car. I get in the car. He says, how are you? And I was like, good, just tired. He's like, I got the car washed. And I was like,
okay.
Okay. He was like, and the inside. Okay. Like, well, and, but
you gotta say it's yours.
It was my car. It was my car. He got my car washed, and I was like, okay.
It doesn't ever get touched.
It never gets washed. And he thought it, and it was just one of those things where I was like, this is acts of service 100%. Like, when someone wants to show you, and they can't, everybody just has a different love language. And I was like, acts of service. That's my brand here with the acts of service on the surgery day. Through with a clean car. And it was like, mind you, it was like 11 o'clock in the morning, so I didn't even know where you went to get the car washed. But it was just like one of those things where I was like, yep, I see it. And just knowing that it's more than the car wash, right? Like, that's you showing like love, and that's, yeah. So like, I think that's, yeah, it goes with the communication, but understanding what your partner is showing, how they show love, what it means, I think that's a big deal.
Yeah. Wow, hilarious.
My car is still clean.
Now, this question came from a listener. Do you suggest living with your significant other before marriage?
100%.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely.
Absolutely. To me, it's like at least a year, too. Yes. Not even a
couple months
and yes. Say, let's get married.
I mean, at least a few months for sure, but abso-freaking-lutely. Things are very different.
You need all four seasons. You need all four seasons. People change with the seasons. You need to know how they're going to act when it's cold. So I knew what I could get away with when it came to the thermostat.
Levi, we're back to the thermostat.
you learn what you can get away with the thermostat, you know? Oh. You got to go through all four seasons.
I do think, I don't know if you need to go, I don't think I believe the four seasons, you can, but I definitely think you should live together. There's a lot of things, and I think even just that financial aspect, a lot of confrontation, I think, in relationships comes from finances when you're starting to take those next steps, and understanding how people deal with having a little bit of money, not enough, when they want to splurge, when you want to get stuff for a home, like, things that actually involve decision-making with money, a lot of times will come out when you live together. Like, it kind of comes out if you're dating, like, who's going to take who out, if we want to go on a trip, blah, blah, blah. But when you're living together, they get much more real. Bills, thermostats. So I think it's definitely a requirement.
It's kind of funny because that's a requirement in our generation. But if you would have asked my grandma or my my aunt, that's my grandmom's age, and when my mom told them that me and her were getting a place together, our first apartment together, they were like, so does that mean they're getting married real soon? They still didn't get married until 3 years later. Yeah. Like, so it's like, I think with our generation, it's definitely something because we're just different now. Like, we really need to know how each other is ticking when it comes to living space.
Well, and I think decision making was different back then. Like, my grandmother would have never made decisions about bills and money. Like, I guess it goes back to better roles. But like, now that we got I got my own money and I'm making my own decisions, like, I think that's where our generations have kind of come up. Like you said, like, your girl makes more money than you. You guys are gonna have a talk, like, hey, let's talk about the splitting of these bills because here's how I got it set up, and like, having a real honest conversation and being transparent.
Very interesting. Yeah. I'm a single person who has never lived with a significant other. So I was very curious on how you guys were going to answer that, because I do see how, like, you could either get a head start on knocking out some things that might come up in conflicts. And it's a good point about generations too, because I was thinking previously, if you would have tried this in the 60s or whatever, you would have been labeled as like, look at these little people living in sin, living Jezebel. Together, Jezebels. And that just would have culturally not been acceptable. So these days it is. Interesting. Thanks for that perspective. Okay, now I don't want to cause a situation or a scene with this question, okay? So control yourselves. What is the most annoying thing about your significant other? I don't want one of y'all sleeping on the couch tonight, so don't take it too far.
Brandon likes the couch.
I
don't like it that Brandon leaves his clothes in the bathroom. When he has 5 hampers, I gave him, it's 3 hampers. First he had 2, and then I realized we were still having difficulty with taking our clothes out of the bathroom. So I gave him a 3rd hamper. It was challenging. But that's a leave stuff everywhere issue, but that's petty. But I'll still mention it.
I mean, I think annoying things are always the petty things, because real in all actuality, you don't really care.
That I annoy you?
No, I leave my clothes. Like, if I leave clothes.
Oh, about leaving the clothes.
Because if it bothered you that bad, you would pick it up that moment and put it.
No, I wouldn't. I would make a point.
That's why you don't say something. And you don't say something right away. You just look at it and be like, God, I hate when he does that. That's all you do. Like, you don't actually call me up or text me right away. Like, why is your clothes still there?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, but it annoys you, but it doesn't annoy
What's
you.
What's your annoying thing? Because I already have an answer and I know what you're going to say.
What I'm going to say?
Yes.
I want to hear.
Is that the annoying thing? That she picks what you're going to say?
No, that's
I'll not. Tell you guys. Yesterday, we're sitting on the couch. And wait, yesterday at 4 o'clock p.m. on the dot, Brandon goes, come here, Jess. And he gives me a hug. And I was like, okay. He was like, this right here is the perfect time to want to snuggle me. And I was like, what? He's like, this time of day is the snuggle time. When I'm comfortable on the couch and like watching my shows, or early in the morning when I'm getting ready to go, those aren't the right times. 4 o'clock is the perfect time. And I was like, I'm at work every day at 4. Every single day, except for Saturday and Sunday at 4. So I get one... And then on the couch at around 9 o'clock, I got, Brian. And he was like, stop it. And I was like, is it because it's not 4? And I was trying to be all cuddly. He's like, see, you're so annoying. His exact words.
I don't know. I don't know if you guys have been seeing those memes of like how like the female in a relationship is just like snuggling so hard that she's like strangling a guy. I mean, I love my wife.
Oh, great.
I love to give my wife affection and attention. But sometimes my wife, it's like she wants to hug. I don't know. It's not a bad thing.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing and it's flattering. But sometimes I feel like she can't hug me. She has to actually be inside my skin for a big amount of time. Like in my skin for the hug to be to her standards.
He said, sometimes I feel like you just want to cuddle my arm hairs. You're so close. And I'm like, what? He's like, you come at me and you're like, oh, Brandon.
Nobody can actually
see. Oh, you can't see his arm.
But this is an audio podcast too, so you're demonstrating.
Oh, right. Stuff. No one can see anything because this is on podcast. Anyway, yes, I do. Sometimes I just, but that's my quality time. And this is him being nice. And then he'll be like, all right, get off me. And that's what he'll say.
Okay.
Inside my skin.
Not inside the skin. I can't with you. Now, us single people want to know, okay, what is something that you do to keep your marriage alive and to keep the passion going? Yes.
Make sure you know what shows are the couple shows and what shows are not the couple shows. So when somebody watches Stranger Things without you and you said, hey, I heard this really cool show, and then you find out 3 weeks later that they finished the whole seasons, and I said, but I said that was a cool show I heard about. That's a couple show. But then having your own shows, like if you want to watch Vikings, that's fine. I don't want to watch that.
So having time for your own shows, but then making sure the couple shows stay the couple shows is very important. And don't go ahead. I know people think that's a joke, but that's totally actually
to keep that passion alive in your marriage.
Yes, because it's nothing like watching something together, having your wine, Married at First Sight. If you are watching Married at First Sight, that's definitely our couple show. Wine Down Wednesdays, Married at First Sight, drinking wine, talking about these crazy people getting married at first sight, trying to work through their problems on reality TV, and then just feeling the love for each other. Because we're like, yeah, we would never do that, you know? He has a dumb answer.
I mean, my answer is very straightforward. I've been told this since I was a kid. Happy wife, happy life, you know? Do whatever she wants in every aspect. In every aspect of a marriage. And
unless it has to do with the thermostat.
Unless it has to do with the thermostat. But you know what you do. You give her a blanket that goes up to 80 and 90 degrees.
Batman, the blanket was such a surprise.
She's warm all the time.
But it is a wonderful gift, actually.
It's a wonderful life.
I love it. Brandon, you are tickling us with these answers. Hilarious.
Listen, I'm just trying to think outside the box. We're not in every single room. So why does every single room...
Oh, you're back to the third set. Oh, my God. I thought he was in. Oh, my God.
I'm done.
He does.
All right. Another question for you guys. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, this one I think will be helpful to me to really hear both y'all's perspectives. But what is one thing you wish you could go back and tell your single self?
I think we analyze a lot when you're single about things that you're worried about. We all got group chats, and one of my group chats, one of my friends said, I don't know how I would be able to be in a relationship, because sometimes when I come home, I don't want to talk to anybody. And
ooh, that's me. Right. Did I say that in the group chat?
No, that wasn't your group chat. but someone said that, and I was like, sometimes I come home and I don't want to talk to nobody either. But I got this roommate. So but knowing that, and like, I think when you're single, you think everything's going to be a problem. But then now I'm like, those are so like, they're not like when you have kids, you don't want to talk to somebody. When you do end up watching Stranger Things without your person, when you like, you know, like the money thing, like stuff that comes up about like, who's going to pay, who has enough, like, all of those things, I think, with time and communication, I'm sure, but like also just not reading too much into it as a single person and thinking that's going to be the downfall of the relationship you don't have yet. Because I think people think already like, oh, I can't do this, so that's not going to work in this relationship, and I can't do that, and I can't deal with that. But like, it might not be a problem, but like, I think it's just not that deep. And it's hard to tell people that when you're married. Your single friends are like, yeah, okay, Jess, you already take it. But I think that's something I wish I would have told myself. I wouldn't have listened, but it's not that deep.
For me, and I think thinking in the past, it's like to be less selfish. I think in relationships that I tried to make happen before meeting my wife, it's like, it was all about what can I get from it, instead of what can I give to it, and what can we make together. So like, the selfishness of it is what I would say, like, just be less selfish in terms of trying to find somebody else, and like, the less you're selfish, the more open you will be to all the differences that are going to come with, you know, trying to find somebody.
Wow. You are wise, okay? Very wise. Look at your wife making that face. I can't.
He doesn't have podcasts. We are wise.
You both are wise. excellent answers. All right, final question for you guys.
Okay.
Was there a moment that you like knew in your knower that this person was the one for you? Brandon, you already mentioned all of Jess's beautiful qualities and why you chose her as your wife, which is important, but was there a moment that you were like, oh yeah, this is it?
Yeah, the 360 and 65th day of living together, and we made it. I was like, oh, yeah, we can get married.
Oh, my God. We were together for, like, 3 years by then. Yeah,
but we weren't living together. No, after the first year of living together in our own place, I knew that marrying you was going to be in the future. Like, now, having the money to get the right ring, you know, getting the ring and all that stuff, and making sure that when it came to having planning for a wedding and stuff, we were going to be situated in the right situation is what, you know, keeps you from popping the question right away. Mm-hmm. But besides that, like, after 1 year of living together, I was like, oh, yeah.
That's how you know dudes be playing games. Because let me tell you one thing. I will say the time I knew was we were out to at, it was day drinking day. It was a Sunday fun day. It was the World Cup was on. This, I don't even know what year
that was. That's like in the very, very beginning.
Yep. I'll tell you. It was within our first year. Oh, this Lord. Man, we had been drinking significantly.
No. And no, your friend, your podcast buddy was
my
drinking.
My friend with Fro. we were drinking significantly. It felt like it. I knew the bartender's name. It was all good. We're going home and we're on the bridge to Jersey.
My gosh.
This man says, say your first name with my last name. And I was like, oh my God, what? And he was like, say your first name with my last name. I was like, oh my God, I can't do that. And he was like, just say it. Like, just say it. And I was like, oh my God, Jessica Whittington. Oh my God. And I was like, oh my God, this man wants to marry me. That is 3 years before the moment he thinks he knew. But I'll tell y'all, boys be playing. So don't mess around. Don't get all tripped up by something cute they say, because I would have thought that was the moment.
You're right.
It wasn't.
Especially, like, she won't complete
hey.
Story. The story, to complete that story is the next morning, she wakes up, goes to the bathroom, and then I get woken up by a loud
thud.
This girl drank so much, was so dehydrated that the next morning she passed out into the door.
Straight into the door.
And was on
it. Was I was walking back from like, the bathroom, nah. And I passed out.
Come on now.
The door.
You can't handle drinking, having a day out drinking with me the next day. I don't know. You might not be the one. We're gonna have to have a couple more trial runs of drinking. You know. Have
but see how we left that date differently. Of course, the next day I'm telling everybody he told me to say my name with his last voice. Our trip.
But think about you preface this story with heavy day drinking. So maybe I made that
you were in the mode.
I made that statement out of a drunken state, you know.
That's rude. I'm glad we're married now. Holy crap. But
anyway.
That's it.
There's the picket line. Like
yeah, that's the pickup line we were waiting for. You
know, I'm using pickup lines on a girl I already got.
Well, thank y'all for answering these questions. I appreciate it. Jess, you still have more to say. I know you do, honey. So
oh, yes.
Tell us about living well and looking fine.
Living well, looking fine. We're going to give a tip for how to be healthy still. And our tip for our health friends and making sure you're staying healthy is don't be thirsty. Okay, don't be thirsty this Valentine's Day. Hydrate. Drink your water. That is
look at Levi.
It's the simplest tip ever. Drink your water. There you go, Levi. Drink your water. Get enough water through the day. People say you should be drinking like a gallon, but do the best you can, okay? As long as you drink, you can set a reminder on your phone, on your smartwatch. Drink your water. It's the easiest thing. It's good for your skin. It's good for your systems. It's good for weight loss. People be overcomplicated in weight loss. Drink your water. Start with drinking enough water. I think you need, like, how much is it? Like half your body weight, something like that. I'll look up the facts for you guys. That's right, Megan. Drink your water. Everybody, drink your water. Drink your water. Don't be thirsty this Valentine's season, because not only is it not good for dating to be thirsty, it's also not good for your body. And that's a word.
I love it. I love it so much.
This was the funniest episode. I'm sorry. I'm dying. Hilarious.
This was good. And I'm glad we did it, Megan. This is different for Valentine's Day, but we hope all of our friends are ready. And yeah, don't be thirsty. And allow love in, or just slide into someone's DMs. It don't have to be love. It could just be like.
All right. Well, Jess, tell the folks where they can find us.
You can find us at Friends with Froze on Instagram. You can send us an email. We sort of check it at yourfriendswithfroze@gmail.com. And slide into our DMs. And if you need Levi's information, we'll let you know. But we already know our cousin over here, he's taken. So don't be acting funny.
Yeah. Not slide in my cousin's DM. I will fight you.
You're not. But we will put everything in our on our page. We'll tag everybody. And thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. See ya.
Bye.